And let me continue to read in verse 18 and following. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? That the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now I want to begin really where I left off last time in verse 23 in this little phrase that we touched upon last week, and look at it once again because it's a beautiful phrase concerning Abraham, but we'll recognize it's not just concerning Abraham, it's concerning all of God's people. There are many titles or names that are given in Scripture concerning those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to those who he taught and his disciples, he says, said to them, as you continue in my word, you'll continue to be my disciples indeed. Now that's an interesting title, and it's a title that all of us who belong to the Lord are able to bear, and we recognize that it's a scriptural designation of the people of God. A disciple is a pupil or a learner. One who is a pupil or a learner, of course, of God, in particular the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a follower. The Bible tells us in the book of John that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and that his people hear his voice. They understand his voice, they receive his voice, and they follow him. So all God's people are certainly not only the immediate disciples that Jesus had, the 12 that he called to himself, and those that were added in the time which he lived and ministered, but all of us are called disciples. And then we're also called believers. The Bible calls us believers. Jesus said, believe thou in God, also believe in me. And so we recognize the scripture as it gives the term believers to the followers, to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks to us, of course, of faith. We believe God. We trust God. We rely in God, or on God and the revelation that he's given to us in Holy Scripture. And we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rest upon him, not only for this life, but life to come. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're able to believe and profess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We believe that Jesus is Lord, and God has raised him from the dead. And you recognize all these scriptures that are so essential and so important in the scripture. The Philippian jailer wanted to know what he would do to be saved, and he was instructed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not only disciples, we're believers. We're believers. The Bible, and we've seen it here a number of times, and we've called our attention to it as James speaks to his fellow believers. He calls them brethren. They're brothers in Christ. We have a relationship that we did not have before we were regenerated and converted, a relationship that exists because of Christ that continues for eternity. And Jesus is presented in Scripture as our elder brother. So we're united to him through faith by God's grace, and we're related to each other. We have the communion of the saints, we confess as Christians in the ancient Apostles' Creed. Then we also recognize we're not only believers and disciples and followers, but the Bible also calls us saints. And we've looked at that little word many times in Scripture and the origin of that word, both in Old and New Testament. We recognize many times Christians, believers, disciples don't necessarily appear as saints, but nevertheless they're acknowledged in Christ as saints. They're separated, and that's all it is. When we look at God and we consider the attributes of God, one of the primary characteristic and attributes, characters of God, that he's holy, and that's where the word saint comes from. He's separated. He's separated above and beyond all of his creation in his perfection and his attributes and his authority. He's the creator and sustainer of all things. And so he is holy, but he's called us to be holy. And in his calling, in his regeneration, he has separated us from the rest of mankind. We spoke of Abraham and used the illustration as is given to us here in the book of James. And we noted from the beginning of Abraham's life, as it appears in Scripture to us, from the 11th and then the 12th chapter, Abraham was called of God, and he was separated from the country and the nation and the surroundings that he had lived, and from the people that he had lived, and separated, and he followed by faith, living faith, followed God, and he separated from, the world, separated from sin, separated from the kingdom of darkness, and were brought into light, the kingdom, Paul tells us in Colossians, of God's dear Son. And so we've been separated to God, separated for worship, separated for service, separated. And so it's a glorious, and we're to live a separated life. We're not to live in darkness or in sin, or though we're in the world, we're not to live as the world. Later on, James will tell us in a later chapter, in the fourth chapter, and then we'll deal with it when we get over there. We're not to be friends of the world. But rather, we're to be followers of God. The world is an enmity against God. We read in John even this morning that the world is in darkness. Darkness hates light. Evil hates light. And so we recognize the word saint. So Christians are saints. They're separated ones. They're believers. They're disciples. Certainly we're brethren. We're part of God's family. John writes over in his first epistle, beloved, what manner of love is this, that we can be called the children of God or the sons of God? It's a marvelous thing. We who were enemies with God, we were under his wrath and curse before sin, are now able to be adopted into his family and provided with all the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here is another word, and we looked at it last time, as it spoke about the living faith of Abraham and how the Lord had called him to himself and declared him as righteous, and he was able to live a blessed life of faith that produced in sanctification the fruits of the Spirit and good works, and he's called the friend of God. What a marvelous designation that Abraham had. We note this in several passages, even in the Old Testament. Over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 7, Jehoshaphat, as he stood in the house of the Lord, in the house of Jehovah, was able to say by the Spirit of God, referring back to Abraham, "Abraham, thy friend forever." The relationship that God had with Abraham and that Abraham could have with God is an everlasting relationship. And God would be always designated as his friend, and Abraham would able to bear that blessed name and that blessed title. But we'll see not just Abraham, but all of God's people. Later on in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 41 verse 8, God speaks to his people, those who have received his mercy and his promise, and he says, "Thou Israel," and that's another blessed title, a name that in the Old Testament is given not only to Jacob in his relationship with God, but the descendants of Jacob, particularly those who were associated by faith with Abraham's God and Jacob's God and Isaac's God, and then Jacob's God, Isaac before Jacob. Get that straight. And he says, "Thou Israel art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now there's another title that we haven't used, a term of God's elect. That's the word chosen. I mean, we speak about election and theology and then preaching in the scripture, and we speak about the elect of God, those who belong to God, those who belong to the true church of Christ by grace through faith. And all it is the word chosen. Jesus said to his disciples and the believers, he says, "You haven't chosen me, I have chosen you." And the Christians, another glorious name, we're Christians, and we remember that from the book of Acts, those in Antioch were first designated as Christians, Christ ones, those associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples, his followers, his believers, as the elect of God. Of course, it goes back to the decrees of God, and we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, the chosen. It's unfortunately today when we speak of Jewish people, people say the chosen people, the chosen people. And it's really a misnomer and incorrect, certainly. There are elect, there are Christians among the Jews, and there always has been, and there will be a remnant according to the election of grace. And we have missions that focus on Israel and focus on Jewish people. Well, that's all fine and good, and we pray for their conversion as we pray for a conversion in general, that God will add to his elect, and he does. As many as are chosen to eternal life are added to the church to believe, and it's not in our power or our ability to add one single individual, but it's all in the hands of God, the chosen. Even in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, we recognize the church, the Christians, are spoken of as the Israel of God. The elect of God, the chosen, are the Christians, the believers. And whether they be of Gentile physically, or Jew, or whether they're bond or free, or male or female. But of course we've been influenced by various and sundry ideas that not necessarily that are consistent with the New Testament. But here we have a beautiful another beautiful expression of God's grace and love, as Abraham is designated as a friend of God. The word friend is a very personal word. It's an intimate word that speaks to us of great wealth and blessing that a friend may have with another friend. It speaks about communion. It speaks about fellowship. It speaks of holding things in common. It speaks about companionship. It speaks about affection. Over in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, it is said of Moses that God spake to Moses as a man to his friend. See, someone who is a friend of another, a true friend, not just an acquaintance, not just an absent friend, but a true friend, is able to speak to one another. In a way, when Adam was created in the garden and provided with him all the blessings that he could have, both externally and internally, before he sinned and disobeyed and plunged himself in darkness and death and all of mankind with him. We read about Adam in the cool of the evening was able to, God would come down and visit with him. They must have been very pleasant times and very enriching times to Adam, because God would speak to him as God spoke to Moses, as a man could speak to his friends. And of course we have that expression of love that is expressed in the New Testament, and is expressed all the way through Scripture. We just don't have to think of Moses. We can read about before Moses, we can think about Enoch, and we know what the Bible tells us about Enoch, who was translated because he was a man of grace and a man of faith. And it reminded us that Enoch, the Bible teaches us that Enoch walked with God. Now that word walking with God doesn't use the term friendship or friend, but it's implied in there. The Bible later on goes and speaks and presents the principle, can two walk together unless they agree? In other words, they have to agree, at least in the direction they're going together. I had that little dog for many years, a White Highland Terrier. They told me he was a very stubborn dog, and boy, he was. And every night he wouldn't go out, as animals have to go outside and do what they have to do, unless you took him out. And he wouldn't go anywhere after dinner unless there were two. It was Sarah and I would take him, and if she for some reason couldn't be there, he wouldn't go. I'd have to enlist my wife, and she had to go, and that was the last thing she ever wanted to do, is walk a dog, I can tell you. And she'll tell you that as well. And I would go out, and I said, well, I think we're going to go right, and we'll head toward town. Or I might think, well, we'll go left, and we'll go this Marcellus or Morris, and we'll go this way. And as I headed, that dog didn't want to go that way. It wanted to go another way. And unless I would pick that dog up and carry it the whole way with me, and he was a big dog, you know, he was a small dog, he was a heavy dog, I'd been worn out by the time I got there. So who determined the way we would go? It was that West Highland Terrier. And it was like that at night. It would at 11 o'clock at night when I had to take it out again for its walk in the snow, in the rain, in the blizzard, whatever it was. It had to go out, and I had to go out, and it wanted to go its timing in its way, you see. But the Bible presents, and I went. There wasn't any agreement. It was its way or no way. But the Bible presents that as scripture. It's a good scriptural provision and principle teaching us about the nature and relationship of a believer to believer in the doctrines of scripture and in the blessings of God. Yeah, other pictures, light and darkness, no harmony between light and darkness. There's no harmony between idols and the true and living God. And so if you're going to walk together, you cannot be in argument about it and fighting about it and one go one way and go the other way. And so it presents the idea of agreement and things that are hold mutually together in common. And certainly the idea of friendship or the ability to go together. And so the Lord Jesus reminds us, he gives a warning to his disciples in the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 4. He's also instructing them, and when he's instructing them, he not only calls them his disciples, but he calls them by the same name that's designated here in James for Abraham, my friends. What a beautiful term that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give and does give to his followers, to his disciples, to his saints. And then, of course, the classic place that we read this is in John, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 13. Well, you can start in verse 12 if you want. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Certainly we recognize the Lord Jesus is also teaching about his disciples and us of his own love toward us. As he gave his life a ransom for our sins. Ye are my friends, verse 14, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. Now, in a very real sense, we are servants of God, aren't we? We're servants of God and servants of Jesus Christ. And the word servant in scripture is really the idea of bond slave. You're either a servant of sin, a servant of the devil, a servant of darkness, or you're a servant of God. And God, by his grace and mercy and love through Jesus Christ, has broken the chains and the bondage to sin and to Satan, to darkness and to judgment, and bound himself to us and we to him. And we're thankful that we can be the servants of righteousness, the servants of God. Paul deals with that a great deal in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and chapter 7, reminding us as children of the light, whether he's speaking to us in Corinthians or whether he's speaking to us in Ephesians, of not being a friend of the works of darkness, but that we're God's servants. And so we bear that proudly as we follow God and seek to worship and serve Him as God. But Jesus goes even beyond that when He says, I don't call you servants. He says, verse 15, I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's a terrific phrase, a terrific principle. It adds to the idea that God spoke to Moses as a man would to his friends. It's teaching us that God has revealed to us His will. He's revealed to us the beginning. He's revealed to us the real. He's revealed to us what is going to happen, what has happened, what is happening. And of course, it reminds us of the importance and necessity of reading and understanding and following the Word of God. It's essential character in our relationship to God by grace through faith. There's nothing we know about really God in a personal way, but He's communicated. When we begin the Hebrews chapter 1, and when we study that long time ago, and read that tremendous God at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, was God's men who spoke, God's instruments who spoke His word to the fathers, the spiritual forefathers, the believers, the separated, the disciples in the Old Testament. Well, God has spoken to us by a son. This morning, of course, I read in your hearing together from the first chapter of the book of John, which is a tremendous chapter in the Bible. Reminds us of Genesis chapter 1, but we read of the Word that was made flesh. The Word, it's not incidental or accidental that the Lord Jesus Christ is given the title of the Word. Communications is through Word. And a friend speaks to us by a Word. And the Word was manifest, incarnate. The flesh, or the eternal Word, took on flesh. And He taught, and He instructed. And His disciples, His followers, His believers, then, and they continue to hear the great shepherd of the sheep. And He speaks to us, and He reveals to us. Think of that great chapter in Corinthians, in the second Corinthians, that speaks about the importance of regeneration and the importance of the Holy Spirit, as it reminds us of the things that God has prepared for them who know Him. Let me just read it. Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the hidden wisdom of the world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God, the Creator, the Sustainer of all things. It's a mystery. In other words, it's unknowable until it's made knowable. And it's made knowable by God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who's given us His Word. The Holy Spirit who's given us even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world know. The princes and the judges and the presidents and the speakers of the house and all those who think they have so much knowledge and wisdom and power, who are know nothing. They're empty. Empty-headed. But God has made them known to us, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, it's not by human effort, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has made known. Jesus said to His disciples, Jesus said to us, I don't call you just servants, but I call you a friend. Because I'm revealing, I'm speaking to you in love and in grace the glorious things of God. For now and for eternity, through that which I have done for you in my life, in my death, my life. The same thing, and I'm going to bring this to a conclusion, the same idea is presented us, of course, in 1 John 1:3, when it speaks about fellowship. And it's a glorious chapter. We looked at it when we studied it. And John writes about the fellowship, the communion, the sharing, the realization of the effects of the work of Christ that he was able to enjoy and that his fellow disciples enjoyed, that he tells us we can enjoy that fellowship and communion, that friendship we can have with God. As we walk in the light, as He is in the light. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 speaks of the same thing, the blessed fellowship. God is faithful, by whom you are called by the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, of course, that fellowship, that communion, that sharing, that love that God has for us in Christ, that Christ has for us, of course, is brought to its conclusion. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and finally in the book of Revelation, which is a repetition of the same idea in 21:3, in the glory of Christ coming, when Jesus says, when God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. As a friend. As a friend. As a Savior. As a hope. As a companion. As one who loves us and we love. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. A disciple. A believer. A saint. The elect of God, a servant of God, and a friend of God. And may we know that by God's grace through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ.